Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians. The word worthy has been floated around here a lot this morning. I want to talk to us this morning about what it means to walk worthy of the Lord. We are told over and over and over again in the writings by Paul that we are to walk worthy of the Lord. Now, I want to clarify something immediately. It doesn't mean earn something. It doesn't mean that we try to measure up to something. It simply means that God is not playing backseat driver or second mate on a ship, that he's the leader, that he's the head, that he's the one that designs our life, that he's the one in charge. We run into all kinds of problems when we just simply try to add Christ onto what we think we should be doing and how we think we should be doing it and what we want. And so what God wants from us that demonstrates that we want him is that we make him the head and not the last thing on the schedule of who we are or what we want. Amen. And so in Colossians, and I got several different verses I'm going to read to you, but in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9, he says, Paul's writing now to the church of Colossae, and he says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." And so Paul's writing and he's saying, I want you to be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want you to understand what the will of God is. The will of God in our ministries is heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the leper. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the lepers. The will of God is that we do these things in line with walking in a worthy attitude toward him. That is a problem with many religions in the world. They think they can just simply ask Christ unto what they already are doing and living and believing. We've had a man here by the name of K.K. John, and he's from India. He's an Indian from India. And he says, you can send big-time evangelists or part-time evangelists to India, and you can get a crowd, and they'll all come forward to accept Christ, but many of them just come forward to add Christ onto what they're doing now and what they believe in, Buddha or Hindu or whatever they want. He said it takes the teaching and the training, and then when they decide to be water baptized, that confirms that they're giving their life to Christ. Many, many, many people pray a sinner's prayer. And Billy Graham said about 10% of the people that pray a sinner's prayer in his crusades live a life that's following Christ. So you can walk this life out any way you want. You can add Christ onto what you think you're going to do. Or you can walk worthy in a worthy manner of what Christ has done for you. That's your choice. Whatever choice you make, he still loves you. Listen to me. Whatever choice you make, he still loves you. But Paul is telling the people he's preaching to make a choice to walk worthy in a worthy manner is the proper description. And that doesn't mean I'm walking around saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, every minute of the day, and I become a robot. It's not meaning that. He's talking about the fact of making choices. And here's the deal. He's talking about the fact of making choices that honors and glorifies Jesus. In other words, allowing the Spirit of God within you to make the choices. How many of us have ran through a lot of spiritual stop signs because we've already made up our mind, I'm going to live the way I want to live and I'm going to do what I want to do, and God just bless me? Number one, we don't have to ask God to bless us. He's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, Ephesians 1:3. How about accepting the blessings? How about becoming a vessel? Hey, this is pretty good even for me. How about becoming a vessel that the blessings just flow through? You have no tap where you turn them off and on. You just allow the blessings of God to flow through you, whatever you're doing. I was at somebody's house for lunch and they were cleaning a chicken coop. Bless the chickens. Be a blessing. I love the way you're shouting. Come on. And I didn't drop my gum in the chicken coop. But I want us to show us some things. We make the Christian life more difficult by trying to live it ourselves instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to live it through us. Can you understand that? God wants you to relax. Say, relax. God wants you to come to a place of relaxing and resting in Him. And the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us and directing us. And we're listening to what He's... We listen to too many people. Even pastor sometimes, just a little bit. Let's take a look at this. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Different group of people, same message. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. How many of you realize you have a calling? How many don't want to realize that? How many are here? If you're here, take a breath anyway. I want you to get this. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to make your life simplified. How many living complicated life? The Bible is telling us, simplify your life. Just follow Jesus.
Yes, amen.
It's really true. But he says this, chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you've been called. God's called you to something. I'm not going to talk about your giftings, but every one of you have giftings, and every one of you have been called by God to exhibit the giftings that God has called you, but do it in a worthy manner. It's not a control thing. It's allowing the Spirit of God to flow through us. We control people because we're afraid. We get fearful that we're not going to get our way. We get fearful that they're going to do something wrong. We get fearful because they may abandon us. A good way to be abandoned is try to control somebody. Because they still may be there presently, but they'll turn you off emotionally. How's that? Okay?
That's good.
Walk worthy. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another. Okay, man, look at your wife and say, I will put up with you. I will put up with you. I'm bearing with you. Okay? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But the whole key there, walking worthy. I'm going to define that very clearly in just a few moments. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. I'm going to talk about this in a couple of moments, but a few minutes, but the life in Christ is intended to give us a thankful spirit. It's not nagging on something. It's not getting bitter. It's not being frustrated. When things are going wrong, we begin to thank God, because that's the attitude. Thank God for what? Problems? Maybe. But thank God that He saved you. Thank God that He died for you. Thank God that He's given you everything that pertained to life and godliness. Thank God that He's made you a new creature. Thank God He's given you a divine nature. How many more things you want?
Amen.
I got to be careful. We destroy ourselves over issues that are temporary because we're not focused on the eternal.
That's right.
We look at things right now that they're going to be forever. I know that. We tore out a floor in the trailer. Judy was gone and I messed up her house. So we tore out a floor in a trailer house. You ever do that? Yeah. You told me you did it. When things are rotted, things are yucky, you're in the corner, 90-some degrees outside, no air conditioning flowing down there, and poor Dave Severson about passed out. So I got him out of there, and I went down there. And for 4.5 hours, we worked on a floor. Kirk would have really been amazed to see me with a screw gun in my hand. That was almost disastrous. But if it was going to get done, I had to do it. I'm used to taking a hammer and just destroy stuff, but to put it back together, that's a different story. Then after that, I went refed a football game for a couple hours. Exhausted. But you know something? You know what helped? I didn't get frustrated. It seems like everything you fixed, you had to redo. If you can keep your cool in a hot time through the Holy Spirit and through an attitude of thanksgiving, it's amazing how you go through things. Amen? It really is. So Paul's telling us, walk in Christ, rooted and built up and established in the faith. We're walking, we're living a life, we're glorifying Jesus, we're honoring Him. And you know something? When He's in charge, life goes better.
Yes, right. Amen.
Do you ever live a messed up life? When Jesus Christ comes in and we make Him the captain of the ship, and we are relegated to first or second or third mate, and He's guiding and He's leading us, and we're following, things go better. Do you ever try to lead a herd of cats? You ever try to get them in order? Huh, James? You ever try that? You can't do it. So when we lead, things fall apart. When we follow His leading, things come together. I'm not telling you not to lead your kids. I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm saying let God lead your life. Probably my favorite verse in the Bible verses is Philippians chapter 1. First of all, let's skip down to verse 27. I'll come back to where I want to go. Philippians 1:27 says this, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Amazing. Let my lifestyle bring honor and glory to Jesus. Now, you may be asking, well, what kind of lifestyle is that? I'm going to tell you, okay? Skip up with me to verse number 18. "According to my earnest expectation," Ephesians 1:18, "and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified, glorified, exalted in my body, whether by life or death." When that becomes the seal on your refrigerator, that every time you walk by the fridge, you see that Christ may be exalted in my life, that Christ may be magnified in my life, that Christ is honored in my life, and we begin to allow that to happen, no matter what. What changes that? Nothing. When do I come to a place of not believing that? Never. The church of Jesus Christ has to get excited about the fact and celebrate the relationship we have with Jesus Christ. We're looking for too many other things to satisfy us. The only one that's going to satisfy you is God.
Amen.
Only one. And the blessings that come after that will work out. So walking worthy. Now, understand something. I didn't say doing something to earn your worthiness. I didn't say that. And somebody's going to say, well, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah, let what God's doing inside come out.
Yes, amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Don't go home and start working and working. I do this and God do this and God do that and God do it. No, that's not what he's saying. God is doing a work within you. And he's going to do it till the day you die. Let the Holy Spirit manifest it to people around you.
Yes, amen.
Give it away. Okay, here we go. Are you excited?
Yes, amen.
It's still preseason, so don't worry about football. Hope the Vikings play all free season. So I was sitting here last night and just started to think, what does that mean? What does that mean? Walk worthy. And how do I do it? Number one, and I got, I don't know, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 15, 18, 20, 32, 45, 72. Anybody want to go get pizza? Number one, live a life according to his word. And of course, we've already mentioned, let the Holy Spirit lead you. As the Holy Spirit leads you, you're able to live a life according to His Word. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or for reproof, for instruction, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Live according to the Word. Do you ever have a dilemma where you're thinking, is this right or is this right? After going through a lot of things in my life, I realize if I have to ask the question, is this right, can I do it, I don't do it. Let the Word of God be your guide. Let the Word of God speak to you. And sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's a melody in here. Don't die with your music still in you. Let it come out. The Word of God will bring out what God has placed within you. And the Word of God disciplines and corrects and ministers to us so that we are walking in a worthy manner, glorifying Jesus. Come to a place where you desire and have a passion for God's Word. Friday was the first day in a long time I didn't get in the Word in the morning. We had breakfast, went to Sioux Falls, picked up Judy, came back yesterday. But last night when I got to church, there was a hunger to read the Word. Get that hunger within you. Study that Word. Number two, don't allow anything to hinder you from walking in love. Don't allow anything to hinder you from walking in love. You know what hinders us? Not getting my own way. Kind of a source of anger. Selfishness. Realize that every single person has value. The Bible says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is love, charity. The Bible says, all you charismatics, you have all the gifts, you have everything working in your life, but you're not loving, they have no value. That brought a good amen. I didn't write it. Don't kill the messenger. But it's true. Value people. Walk in love. Walk in faith. Keep understand something. It didn't say without works it's impossible to please God. It says without faith it's impossible to please God. Do you know why? Because God has given to each one of us a measure of faith. We all have faith. What do you do with it? We allow faith to bring about a corresponding action. Faith produces an action. Walk in faith. Believe what God's told you. Some of you have things God spoke to you years ago, and you think they're not going to happen. You want to put yourself in Abraham's shoes? You want to have a baby when you're 100 years old? God promised Abraham a son when he was a younger man. It never happened till he was 100. Think how many years He worked on that and held on to that. Even when Hagar had a son, God told him that's not the one. Live by faith. Walk in faith. Number three, walk in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Walk in that authority. The Bible says that the gospel is not in word only, but in power. God has placed within you the Holy Spirit, and He has unlimited power. When we put love and faith and power together, things have to change. But you need the three of them. How does power and anointing work? It works through compassion. Jesus walked through the multitudes and he was moved with compassion because he saw that they had no leader and were like sheep without a shepherd. Here's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to go through so many things with people or with yourself or with your family that you lose compassion and you just throw up your hands and you give up and you say, what's the use? They're never going to change. How do you know? You haven't seen the future. You don't know what God's going to do. Some of you never thought you'd be in a church, but you're here today. Right? I'll never go to that place. Those folks are idiots. They're holy rollers. Huh? Can I tell you a quick story? I might have told you this. When I was pastoring in Virginia, we took a church with about 6 or 8 people the first Sunday we were there, and church was an old building, and one day we raised enough money to put carpet in it, and I was working at the funeral home, and Randy called me a holy roller every day, holy roller. Hey, here comes the holy roller. That's okay. So I went up to Randy after we put the carpet in. I said, Randy, we just carpeted the church. You want to come see it? Yeah. So he walked in and he said, man, this is really nice. Why'd you do it? And I said, well, people really got messed up rolling down the aisles and I just wanted to make sure they stayed clean. He got the point. Holy rollers. Walk in honor and respect for all people. Do you know that Jesus honored and respected people? Whose face did he get into? The Pharisees, Sadducees, the lawyers who honored and respected nobody but their own. We talked last week for a moment again about a culture of honor. The people you see here or someplace else may have faults. You're not going to change it by disrespecting them. I love the way you're shouting. It's true. You're not going to change them by condemning them. We're going to change them by loving them, having compassion on them, and respecting them and allowing God to do the work. Right. I'm not saying for one moment you have to condone what they're doing. I'm not saying that. There are things as sin. But the church is not going to get people out of their sinful ways by just letting them know what we're against. We need to let them know what we're for.
That's right. Amen.
And we come to a place where we love them and respect them and honor them, even if they don't love and honor us. God never said, just do unto them what they're doing unto you. We walk worthy of God by treating people as God would treat them. We still okay, or are you hungry? Walk in an attitude of thanksgiving, praise, and worship, adoring the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let that permeate through you. People don't often watch you when things are going good. But you, if when they know you're going through a bad situation and you're still praising and thanking and honoring God, they take notice. That's why every once in a while I got to learn some shut mouth grace. Just live and not say anything negative. Isn't it easy? I know you folks don't have the problem. Isn't it easy for a pastor just to put his foot in his mouth and start chewing? The toenails are the worst tasting part. Allow the Holy Spirit within you to manifest himself through your voice. Instead of ringing the panic bell and making everything a crisis, just start praising. Two more. We okay?
Yes.
Walk in an attitude of forgiveness. I'm going to sit down on this one. It's pretty heavy. Quit being historical. I didn't say hysterical, I said historical. Isn't it strange how we get in an argument with our spouse and bring something up that happened 40 years ago? Isn't it amazing how we just can't let things go because we want to have our way and we want to make sure that they get that we're right? Can I tell you something? Being right's overrated. I had somebody walk in and talk to me a while back, and they said, well, I'm going to do this to him, and I'm going to do that to him, and I'm going to do this. And I said, yeah, you might. You may win the war, but you may win the battle, but you're going to lose the war. Somebody does something to you, forgive them before you say a word. You say, well, that's no fun. Then we don't get to make up. Making up is overrated too. Because you just gave them more ammunition for the next time. Walk in an attitude of forgiveness. The last one. Before I close, we're going to go over this stuff in detail on Wednesday night. If you want to come in and just talk about it. We're going to go through this stuff Wednesday night. I just been kind of doing that, giving people a chance to respond. So get your ammunition ready and come on in. This is very interesting. Live and walk as a forgiven person because you are. Don't carry the past. Don't even carry the failures of yesterday. Come to Christ and say, God, here I am. I'm going to walk in a spirit of being forgiven. I'm going to put everything behind me that I've done. My future is still ahead of me. Today is still here. I'm not going to allow what happened 20 years ago to dictate what's going to happen today. Bible says if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. You have no past. And so is the one that you haven't forgiven. So you come to a place where I'm free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now don't go back to what you were. You're not that person anymore. Go into what God is making you. He's made you a new creation. Walk out the new life. Shut the door on the old. I haven't used this illustration for a long time, but I close with it today. Catherine Kuhlman, one of the greatest evangelists that ever lived, one of the major healing ministries. You'd walk in there and she'd read your mail and she'd note everything about you through the work of the Holy Spirit. Failed God in the early part of her ministry. It caused someone to get a divorce. She married the divorced man. Eventually, it didn't work out. One day she's preaching at this conference and this news reporter comes up to her and says, "Aren't you the Catherine Kuhlman that did this and this and this?" And she looked at him and said, "No, sir, that Catherine Kuhlman's dead." The old man's dead. The old life is gone. We're a new creation in Christ. We walk it out. We live it. We enjoy it. There's no more guilt, no condemnation from the past. We're today.
That's right. Amen.
Let's live it. I cannot live for the glory of God carrying or dragging a 1,000-pound bag of past sins. I'm free. And so are you. If you've accepted Christ, you're free. Amen?